I remember several years ago watching with a natural visceral resentment, the best way to describe it. Yeah, I could not resist the resentment as I watched Dan Rather attack some what I recall is he was a black man. I think he was a doctor. He was under unproven charges. And 60 Minutes was doing its typical aggressive, investigative, we know you're guilty, prove you're innocent to us and no one else routine on this poor man. I have never seen anyone as obnoxiously aggressive as Dan Rather was, pursuing that poor, harassed black man who tried to walk around a car one direction and Rather would intercept him. I remember Dan Rather and the press corps at Washington, D.C. a few times. The obnoxious and aggressive way in which he would attack the president with his questions. It will always stand to George Bush's credit that he stood up to Dan Rather. But when Dan Rather didn't like the way in which his aggressive routine on George Bush wasn't working, he just ended the interview. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
A couple of times in my life, I have also had the disgusting occasion to witness some horny, suck-up mental midget jerk in a singles bar trying with sweat on his palms to elicit some kind of response out of a girl. You know the kind. I mean, they would go through a plate glass window to have the girl throw him a kiss. God knows what they'd do to get anything else. You ever seen those kinds at a single bar? I mean, they salivate. They're like a rooting hog. You know the kind. And they get solicitous. You see little beads of sweat on their face, and you see a certain kind of glassy-eyed glimmer in their eyeballs, and you see a sort of a frozen smile, and there's a kind of a quiver in the voice as they try to sound nice when you know that it's hard for them. You ever seen those? Any of you girls ever seen those kind? That's all I could think of tonight as I watched Dan Rather interview Aziz in Baghdad. And what's he doing in Baghdad on the eve of war talking to the enemy anyway for? But I watched his tone as he tried to set a scenario. It says, and he had sort of that little, like, this is my best side, be sure you take it. That little tilt to his, and you know, he tries to, he thinks he's Walter Winchell of this day and age. He tries to give the news with that rat-a-tat-tat excitement like it's the untouchables that are going in to break open a still and shoot the criminals down for the good of America, while he tells about some father getting a letter from his own daughter. He makes it sound like he's just reporting the death of the passengers and the sinking of the Titanic. Everything is excitement to Dan Rather. But he had that little tilt to his face, and he's sitting there and solicitously trying to pull something out of this sewer mouth, lying, miserable son of the devil, the foreign minister of Iraq, who is so mean to the rest of the world because of what he has to kiss all day long when he reports to Saddam. You know, he reminds me of a husband that's the meanest man on the block because his wife beats him up every night. You ever seen those kind? So, here is Dan Rather, the victim, and enjoying it. They got a scoop, they think. I mean, the rest of the people only get to show film clips of Jim Baker. Dan Rather gets to talk to Asish while he says, with a sneer in his voice, we know. Our intelligence tells us what the Americans have. How many spy planes from Iraq do you think have been allowed to fly over? The embargo areas. Not only do we know what America can do to us, they know what we can do to them. And Israel will definitely be put into the war. And that little checkerboard head with an echo chamber for brains, the best he could do was permissively slink out of Tripoli. Bellowing and spewing his speeches while the media continues to trumpet the unanalyzed and uncriticized and, I repeat, like a hungry, horny teenager who's on their first date, solicitously stroking the voices of Satan out of Iraq, not having the courage. Oh, you can take a camera crew and all the money in the States and chase some poor black man around a car in Los Angeles. But he's not about to sass Aziz. He's afraid he might be the last of the human shields in Baghdad. Listening uncritically while they say that the war will be global, and indeed, without a critical comment and response, they give the dignity of media coverage to Saddam Hussein redefining terrorism as war. They have become so saturated in their solicitous desire to have a scoop report from a location that's more exotic than the other fella, if it means in the destruction of America and the death of 350,000 boys, which thank God won't be killed because they're going to blow that place to smithereens. But these salivating media scoop hunters, that ain't a bad analogy, you know. We have a scoop hunter in my yard that follows the dogs around. It'd be a promotion for him, I'll tell you that. At least there'd be some substance. to the scoops they were obtaining. They have become so solicitous and so blind in their searching for a scoop, they don't even deserve the name journalism anymore. To allow a threat of world terrorism to be redefined as war. War is still a terrible, traumatic, last resort activity of mankind that does have some civilized boundaries. Otherwise, nuclear bombs would have been dropped long ago. And the civilized world is united to keep the atomic instruments out of the hands of uncivilized people. But the media is so self-blinded in its scramble for ratings and its desire to work its will on the world at any cost. You see, war is news, and they've lost the ability to report the news. They manufacture news. You can't very well report on war with an idiot card. They have become the most powerful force in the world. They have become the high priesthood of the mental frame of America. And they have a knee-jerk reaction to war that is based on principle because they have none, and to something they can't control. They might have to just report for a change. And in their blind self-delusion, they will give the dignity undeservedly to a statement of Saddam Hussein that if war breaks out, there'll be terrorism all over the globe. Terrorism is like poison gas and nuclear war. It is the price of war that innocent people are hurt. Terrorism deliberately targets innocent people. They are in a category light years apart. And it is revelatory of the hypocrisy of the media that they will allow Saddam Hussein to make such a statement and not react to it. The same newsman that would chase a poor black man in trouble around a car on the streets of Los Angeles will not even challenge Assis in his hotshot interview tonight to the inhumane, uncivilized, dastardly evil analogous only to gassing the Jews in Hitler Germany of threatening terrorism worldwide as a legitimate, in his word, response to war. Think about it and get sick. And these comfortable $2 million a year hotshots in their first class seats flying back and forth, kissing up to the enemy, telling us how Iraq may wipe out our soldier boys. I think maybe we ought to listen to the six Iraqis who flew their helicopter into Saudi Arabia and said, "Please, we want to change sides before the war starts." And I'm telling you, they have one hell of a well-equipped army. When they haven't even got enough gas for the poor guy that wants to escape to get across the border and through the desert. I mean, 2 out of 6 can't make it to the front lines. And we're going to worry about them wiping us out. And if our people knew they were escaping, don't you think their people knew they were escaping? They could have shot them down, but why reveal before the war starts that they can't hit anything? Why can't the media do something to encourage our people instead of kissing up to the enemy? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The media is only interested in itself. America had better rise up and write some letters to President Bush and let him know that people of principle across this nation know what's going on, and 8 days from now we're on his side. Do what has to be done. Well, I understand that George Putnam was saying pretty much the same thing I'm saying about Iraq. Always know I'm right when I hear George Putnam saying the same thing. The only real newsman we have still in Los Angeles. I'm tired of these wimpos and doomsayers. And now having, you know, you'll fight a lot harder for something you've said after you've said it than you would for the same thing if you hadn't said it. Now that the media's put its foot in its mouth so deep. Of course, considering that they start the mouth pretty low down on them, it doesn't take long to get real deep. They're having a real hard time changing what they're saying. They're defending what they've said at the expense of America. Come on, you the degree, get on telephone. You that don't, call Saddam. To those that joined us this half hour, it's Monday night and we're live. Tuesday morning in some places. I want to know where 1610 AM is being picked up tonight all over the world. If you're hearing us in Australia and you call Collect, will you tell us what time it is there so we can figure out? And prove to the station management that you hear us all the way in Australia. Somebody calls from Australia and doesn't give the time, shows up in the messages, so we don't know whether they're hearing it over the pole at a different time or live. 1610 can be picked up in various places around the world and all over the United States in certain spots. So I want you to keep reporting to me if you're listening on 1610 AM. That clear channel station out of Anguilla, British West Indies. 24 hours a day, we're off Anguilla on 690 AM. People who listen in the Caribbean area, we'd like you to call us. You can call Collect, area 818-240-8151. All over Central, South America, and North America, you can pick us up from 8 p.m. to midnight, West Coast time, on the 16-meter band. No, 31-meter band. My mistake. Daytime is 16. 31-meter band, 9785 on your shortwave dial. Now, before too long, we'll be able to announce some other frequencies from other places. But you that are listening on shortwave, we want you to tell us, too. We know that the signals occasionally will vary because of atmospheric conditions. But with that bit of inconvenience on occasions is the worldwide capacities of shortwave. Now, if Secret Five were in place and completed in all of its objectives that Secret Five really just begins, I told you that we needed $1 million by year's end. We postponed it then until January's end, 1st of February. That takes the first step. That's Secret Five. The Relentless Fund by Easter, if met, can complete the objectives of Secret Five. If those were completed, everybody in Iraq that has a shortwave radio would be listening to my speeches these last two nights. I still think I'm having to wake you up to the realization of what God has opened as a door for us. You are getting a sample of it in the United States, where as a time buyer, we're on the Voice of Hope. The Voice of Hope does not cover the world from this transmitter. It has other transmitters, but we're not on those other transmitters. We're just a time buyer. It is a relationship of love and mutual respect. But they have their program objectives, of which we're a vital part. And I do not in any way diminish the value of being a vital part of that evangelistic radio outreach. And in time, only God knows the degree to which we may or may not be involved with their other transmitter in the Middle East, or any others they may have planned. But they do have one in the Middle East. All I'm saying is, Secret Five begins a journey for us that will guarantee our own platform with 24-hour-a-day capability to the whole world. Not from one transmitter, not from one location, not from one country. From many locations and many transmitters and more than one or two countries. And were it complete tonight, this alternative voice would be heard round the world, including the sheer unadulterated joy of shouting it down through the eardrums and the throat of Saddam Hussein and his minions in Iraq. In Kuwait, he took over one of the most powerful shortwave stations the world has ever known, Radio Kuwait. It shall be my life ambition to have one more powerful one day screaming at him. Because that is where it is. It is from Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Syria, highly unlikely, but in the geographic area, South Turkey. More probably, Iraq, Transjordan, or Syria, that Antichrist is going to come from. I want to be perched on a tower, voice-wise, from a satellite, to scream at him with the truth until Jesus takes us home. I don't think I have waked you up yet to what it is that God has given as an opportunity to do what you are now hearing and enjoying from Voice of Hope for 4 hours. from permanent platforms around this world for 24 hours a day. That's what we're getting involved in. When are you going to wake up and decide that the time is now and this is an opportunity you're not going to miss? Get on telephone. You know, I get sick of some clergymen thinking they speak for the whole church world. I don't speak for the whole church world. I speak for me. But as a clergyman, those other self-styled representatives don't speak for me. I got so sick last weekend in a valley of 14 million people and more churches probably than any other single area in the whole wide world. Eight clergymen received top billing in the media for the weekend because they are urging peace, let the sanctions last a while, and no war. Peace at any cost. All I can remember is the clergyman in Nazi Germany who could have stopped Hitler but gave the same turn the other cheek, peace at any cost, idealistic, wimpy speeches until it was too late. This church gave $50,000 to the city of Pasadena, to the USS Pasadena Foundation, because I discovered that a clergyman had blocked Pasadena receiving the honor of a new nuclear sub last year being named after them. And for such an honor, a city must come up with $50,000 that is used to provide special amenities for the crew, such as television and silverware and some non-routine amenities that the boys in the submarine would not have. And that's a way to get it for them. For a city that's honored with the sub being named after it, there must be a $50,000 contribution. I got so angry when I found out that a clergyman had led a pacifist resistance to a nuclear sub being named after the city of Pasadena. I said, he doesn't speak for all clergymen. I'm going to step forward and help get this $50,000 raised. It was a pleasant surprise when I received the tape of the special presentation from the commander of the vessel, who greeted me saying, you don't know me, but I know you, having watched you on shipboard and in Norfolk, Virginia for many years, thanking me for what we had done to make this possible. I'm just tired of clergymen thinking they got a corner on truth with their passive millennial do-goody speeches, who apparently do not have a Bible that points out to them that ultimate peace comes by the Prince of Peace, who comes with a sword coming out of his mouth and spilling blood till it runs to the bridles of the horse on the plain of Megiddo. The simple little moral homilies of Christ are not going to bring peace to the world. He's going to come kick butts all over Megiddo. So where do we get this idea that it's somehow non-Christian to say, stand up and punch evil in the eye?
Yeah.
A few other soft parts while you're at it. Now get on telephone. Berkeley, to you who join us this half hour, this is a response to my comments about the USS Pasadena, which we helped make happen in terms of its commissioning. I remember that tape. I was captain aboard the USS Pasadena, and I was sure I'd sure love to hear it again, sir. I think that's kind of interesting. We have just about every kind of activity in life represented in our king's houses. Here is an FBI, special agent with the FBI. I won't identify the area. We're on top of Saddam Hussein's minions. Should they make a terrorism move, we're standing by. I work with foreign intelligence and terrorism. Yeah, he's going to get some real education, I think, in the days ahead. It's amazing how a big-mouth troublemaker that almost got his asteroid blown away. Remember how Gaddafi was terrorizing the world and how silent he's been since they put a bomb down his smokestack? Funny, none of those lessons register with the media. And am I the only person in America that only found out today that 300 Iraqi troops have defected, sort of as a footnote to the story of the six pilots who flew helicopters into Saudi Arabia to defect? Am I the only one in America that just found out today? Isn't it interesting that 300 of them have managed to defect over a period of several weeks, but we hear more about the death count of the soldiers in Saudi Arabia, and nobody takes the trouble to tell us that 300 Iraqi soldiers have defected. Plus the fact nobody's pointing out, as they ring up the billions that it's costing, this is the first time we've ever been paid by foreign governments. And when they tally the number of deaths that have occurred in Saudi Arabia, I'll make you a bet that the same 350,000 troops scattered through about 15 different bases in America probably have the same rate of deaths and accidents at home. Probably a little more, because there's more alcohol on the days off. I mean, this is tailored propaganda that insults the intelligence of anyone with a capacity to think. I mean, they seize upon every accident in the desert, every death in the desert. Let a soldier get bitten by a snake with 350,000 soldiers over there in Saudi Arabia. It is on every network. They go fishing on a weekend in South Carolina and get bit by a diamondback rattlesnake and nobody says a word. They break a leg in Saudi Arabia, it's on national network, 5 times a day. They break a leg playing football at Fort Ord, it doesn't even make the local news. 350,000 people are going to have accidents wherever they are. And I am tired of my intelligence being insulted, as though all these deaths are because we moved the boys to Saudi Arabia. I'll guarantee you they have less danger of AIDS and syphilis than they did at home. You can prove anything with numbers. That's not an argument to go to Saudi Arabia. The point I'm making is that's not an argument to bring them home either. Quit insulting my intelligence with the media. We've had accidents on aircraft carriers and destroyers in peacetime. It goes with the territory. Anytime you mix 350,000 people and equipment together, I don't care if it's in paradise or Saudi Arabia, there's some accidents. And the same 350,000 at home, if they cease to be soldiers, you'd have probably the same percentage or more accidents and deaths as civilians. You sure as hell would if they went through East Los Angeles. Just don't like my intelligence being insulted. I don't like being beat over the head with the number of fatalities in the Saudi desert, and they won't tell me that 300. I'm angered that the people have a right to know syndrome did not let the people who have a right to know Until tonight, the 300 Iraqi soldiers had defected. I mean, I knew they were defecating all the time, but defected was something that was news. Just start recognizing that you're not alone out there when you sit in front of that boom box and say, why am I listening to these idiots? You shouldn't. Turn them off and listen to me. Yeah. Get yourself a shortwave radio.
Yeah.
Take it with you. Need to print up little cards and put them in the window of your car. Say, I got a shortwave radio. I'm listening to Scott as you drive down the freeway, and just sit there and look so happy while everybody else is going crazy and guys are pulling up alongside and saying, what's he say? What's that midwinter sign? I'm a Scorpio. What are you? What's that ad? Isn't that the stupidest ad you ever saw? I'll tell you how they could wipe out Kuwait in one night. Just play that guy on TV that says, come to my seminar. I know how to make much of money. Then you can rent a yacht that you don't own and show houses that you don't own and have boob head and big boob girls who hate you running around because I paid them. And now that the program's over, I must take my Rolls Royce and go back to the rent-a-car in Beverly Hills. You must take my son. You want to know how to make money? Get on a radio and the TV and talk to boob heads like you, and then you can make money like I make. Got to take my seminar. 2 weeks ago, I was cleaning toilets in Vietnam. Now I'm a millionaire. I can show you how to be a millionaire. Just take my seminar and send me your money. Why anybody listens to anything on television but me is a mystery. Get on telephone. Northridge. My wife and I were laughing at Doc's parody of that real estate ad. We're sitting here crying. I haven't laughed so hard since the Docky Horror Show. Walton, New York. Doc, I'm glad to see you're feeling better. I agree with what you're saying about Iraq and the media. On my dish, I get the Canadian TV stations and their news. The Canadian media treats America better than America's own media. Marysville, Washington. My brother went to the December 22nd banquet. He said he didn't run into any stupid people because there are none in Doc's church. Oakland, what is this? I like this man, especially when you say kick Saddam's ass. Can I contribute to the kicking or something else? Sure you can. You can also have our magazine free. All you got to do is ask for it. The Truth About is available and free to anyone who asks. Duarte, Oklahoma. I can get 1610 AM. Thank you for 1610 AM and the shortwave and for tonight's comments. There's a letter we got today. Thought it might make you rejoice a little. Dear Dr. Scott, I have just returned from vacationing in Cuba, where I stumbled across your program one night while scanning across the shortwave band on the Soviet-made radio receiver that our all-concrete hotel room came equipped with. I am compelled to tell you that hearing your broadcast was about the best thing to happen to me during my stay in that godforsaken place. You made special mention during the broadcast that you needed to know how well your signal was being received in Cuba, which is why I'm responding tonight, having only gotten off the airplane a few hours ago. I was staying at Playa del Este, just outside Havana, and in general, the quality of the signal was good. We read you loud and clear. Unfortunately, I do not presently have access to a shortwave receiver here in Montreal. Nor do I know whether I could expect to be able to pull in your signal this far north. You could. Do you have any northward transmissions? You can pick up 9785... but it won't be long till it'll hit you right bang on the nose from another place. In any case, I found your musical programming to be good, eclectic, and diverse. That's hard to find on the radio these days. The religious and political content of your broadcast was thought-provoking. I'd be interested in finding out more. Kindly put me on your mailing list for any materials, publications, books, catalogs put out by your organization. By God's grace, may this letter find you in good health. God bless you. He gives his name, address, Montreal, Canada. Right in the heart of Cuba. I wish you could understand. I know there are those that used to come to King's House One and would say to themselves, if they cared, boy, I wish I'd been there when the Fountain of Faith challenge was offered, so I could have shared in that. It won't happen again. Faith Center was saved at that point. The determined turnaround that we would lift that fountain of faith as our own way of flipping the bird to the prince of the power of the air, that we would pierce this old globe with broadcasting till Jesus comes and his crown descends. That moment of opportunity to participate will never repeat itself. This is a moment like that and much greater. Once we have covered the globe, once that map that sits up there that does not yet have placed on it the platforms from which this voice will reach out and the lines drawn that will cover the globe, it just sits there like a bait, blank. Occasionally we show you pictures of sections of the globe. But once Secret Five is complete, we'll be able to show you the spots from which we cover that whole globe. And once we're doing it, there's no one else of whom it can be said, they let me over the wall in a basket. As no one else ever had the opportunity to launch Paul's ministry except those who held the ropes at Damascus. Never again will the opportunity come to launch this voice worldwide. How you can have the breath of eternity on you and care a whit for eternal things and not do whatever you have to do to participate blows my mind. I actually feel sorry for those that don't participate. So get on telephone. Hi, Prairie, Alberta, Canada. Make any difference if I send a personal check or Canadian funds? Doesn't make a difference at all. We're an international ministry. Don't make any difference. Doesn't matter. Gets to be a problem, we'll buy a money changing firm. Yeah. Just stay cool. You know, Paul said to the Thessalonians, the spirit of Antichrist was at work in his day. Some people get so wrapped up in identifying who the personal Antichrist will be, they forget that the spirit of Antichrist is at work in the land and capable of being recognized, and that the pattern of prophecy fulfillment is usually multiple. as you approach the time of ultimate fulfillment. Daniel 11 serves a simple purpose in Scripture. It confounds the critics. They can't believe that it's prophecy because it's so detailed in outlining the history of battles between the Seleucid portion of Alexander the Great's kingdom with its capital in Baghdad and stretching through Lebanon to the coast, encompassing Syria and South Turkey and portions of western Iran, but centered in what is now Iraq. It's where Alexander the Great made his final capital. He died outside Baghdad. It is the demon that possessed Alexander the Great that will come out of the bottomless pit and possess the Antichrist in the last days and drive him to perdition as he becomes demon-possessed. It is that very territory where during the Great Tribulation 200 million demon horsemen will be released to work their evil ways. Well, the prince of the power of the air has power, but he must really be agitated when he sees that right in his domain 200 million of his henchmen have been chained up waiting a release during the Great Tribulation. And the whole book, or the whole chapter of Daniel 11, is to play out in imminent detail the wars between the king of the north, which is the Seleucid kingdom, that portion of the four generals who succeeded Alexander the Great, and the successors to the first Seleucid general. That's the king of the north. The king of the south is the Ptolemies in Egypt, another general who ruled the Egyptian portion of the ancient Alexandrian kingdom. And page after page, verse after verse, unfolds the struggle between the king of the north, the Seleucid kingdom, the king of the south, the Egyptian kingdom. Anyone who tells you the king of the north is Russia doesn't know their prophecy. Daniel 11 strictly defines the king of the north as the Seleucid kingdom and those who stand in its place, geographically, successor kingdoms. That's the king of the north, headquartered Iraq, Iran, Syria, Transjordan, Lebanon, South Turkey. The king of the south is Egypt. Antichrist will never come out of Egypt. Egypt will always be a pain in the asteroid of Antichrist. It will be a fussing that produces a war between Antichrist, the king of the north, and the king of the south at the end, that is going on when the king of the north hears tidings out of the east and the north that trouble him. And it will bring him back to set the stage for the Battle of Armageddon and the Plain of Megiddo. But Daniel 11 identifies the king of the north as the Seleucid kingdom, successor to that portion of Alexander the Great's empire. And as it portrays the seesawing of battles back and forth between the king of the north and the king of the south, Seleucid versus the Ptolemies, it comes to a point where the gap theory intrudes, and you leap ahead centuries to a time that history has not yet unfolded, when the same places, geographically, the king of the north, a successor ruler to that place, Iraq, western Iran, southern Turkey, Transjordan, Syria, a ruler in that place, standing in the place of the Seleucid kingdom, will become Antichrist and will be given his kingdom for a short period, then will reveal his true nature. Well, you need to look for rulers in that area without necessarily being stupid enough to think that when you see the spirit of Antichrist at work in a ruler in that area, that necessarily means he's the Antichrist. I'm telling you, Saddam Hussein is not the Antichrist. But the spirit of Antichrist is working in him, and he will show forth those traits. The time of the end. Verse 36, the king of the north is described in Daniel 11, and the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, the King James says, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Now, thanks to Origen, an early church father, who was a great admirer of Hebrew scholars, the Septuagint version of Daniel was taken out of Scripture and the Hebrew given preference. But the Bible of Christ and Paul had the Septuagint Daniel. And you need to read other versions to get a more accurate translation of these verses. The Jerusalem Bible. The king will do as he pleases, growing more and more arrogant, considering himself greater than all the gods. He will utter incredible blasphemies against the God of gods. As for the king, he shall have all his own way. In his pride, he will think himself a match for any god, even of that god, boast himself the rival, who is above all gods. This arrogant tin horn, whose history is a vile history of persecution, intimidation, and torture to those that have followed his rise to power. Arrogant. He probably believes the whole world is going to rise up now in support of his self-delusion. He makes Hitler look like an amateur. He shall have all his own way. In his pride, he will think himself a match for any god, even of that god boast himself the rival. Hey, I ain't no racist. I'm pretty objective. Religiously, I did a PhD at Stanford. I can teach religion in a university, honestly state my view, and then fairly treat and objectively treat the alternatives, and genuinely respect people who honestly commit themselves consistently to the faith that they have. But you start shoving your religion down my throat, I'll be damned if I'm going to grin and bear it. You start attacking me in the name of your God, you are attacking my God. Then I got a right to say, my God may be bigger than yours. It's not America that's making this a holy war. It's not even Israel that's making this a holy war. shades of the 7th century. When jihad is being declared to justify torture and rape and worldwide terrorism, well, when is America going to wake up and understand that there are spiritual forces at work in the world? The spirit of Antichrist is bellowing out of the old Seleucid Kingdom headquarters. Whether deliberately or inadvertently, they show the fool riding a white horse on the news tonight. I do think he's a forerunner, that the spirit of Antichrist is at work. I think it's kind of nifty that a pincer movement is set up with Judah on one side and Israel on the other. Just about ready to blow them to kingdom come. See, I don't particularly think that it's required of mankind. You call a black person a nigger, don't get upset if he turns around, slaps you, and calls you a honky. You call a white person a honky, don't get too upset if he turns around and punches you and calls you a nigger. What point you making? Well, it's pretty obvious to the intelligent people. Saddam Hussein and Iran before him have been getting away with murder and justifying it by their God. Well, I think it's about time for a few American clergymen to say, hey, the record of history shows the God of Israel and the God of Judah has been winning more than the other side. And they may be surprised to find out what paradise looks like. As we send a few of them there. See, I ain't inclined to be a fair person when somebody hits me below the belt. I've sat here and taught on the Islamic faith, and I think given it fair treatment. But when a fanatical fundamentalist shows up, and in this case a hypocrite, he's been a Sunni, building a secular government, holding down and spitting on the fundamentalist Shiites of his own country. Now, suddenly he's gotten very holy and fundamentalist and declaring a jihad as he's nominated himself the titular head of the Islamic world. I prefer to leave religion out of a fight. But if they're going to bring him in, I can bring him in too. I think there is a holy war going on to resist the spirit of Antichrist. Blow the devil off the map and singe the bottoms of those 200 million that are chained a little off the ground in the air territory while you're at it. I'm tired of sitting around and trying to be fair with liars, death dealers, terrorists, who then say God's on their side. Indeed, the Ishmaelites will persecute the children of Isaac. Throw the mothers out. Now, if I have some people that are very sensitive and say, you shouldn't have done that, Gene. Well, tell the old garbage mouth over there to quit talking about my God and ringing his in as though he owns him. Because I happen to think that Allah, or God, depending upon the name, is just as much on my side as his. A little more. I hate fundamentalists. Fundamentalists cause trouble wherever they go. And the only way you can handle a fundamentalist is out-fundamentalize them. Be just as obnoxious, as unfair, as nasty, as ruthless as God ordained me to put you out of business as they are. So, nuke them in the name of Jesus. Now get on the telephone. You know, when Armageddon comes, there will be some Christians, quote, Christians, who have undergone 7 years of travail and think that it's made them a saint, who will be carrying placards, God is love, and turn the other cheek, marching in front of Jesus on the white horse as he comes the second time to a place called Megiddo. And they'll be chanting and quoting scriptures at Jesus as the sword goes out of his mouth. And others will be praying for the conversion of Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. So figure these wimpos out. And since God's been brought up and a holy wet war has been declared, maybe we need to remind the people that believe and talk that the Japanese ambassador was talking in Washington when Pearl Harbor happened. It's a time to hang tough. Our congressmen and senators that scheduled a debate on Thursday gave more aid and comfort to the enemy than Benedict Arnold did. So it's a time for American citizens to speak out. And if you write the president, tell him your pastor told you to do it. Because he needs to know a few clergymen think he ought to blow them up and come home. Why is it quiet? Get on the telephone. The king will do as he pleases. He shall have all his own way and his pride. He will think himself a match for any god, even of that god boast himself the rival. That's what he's doing. I mean, like it or lump it, criticize Israel all you want. God chose those people and restored them to their land. Palestinian problem should be solved. But I wouldn't want to take on their God. Like it or lump it. First time in history. Both the house of Israel and the house of Judah have the biblical seed of Antichrist between them in a pincer move. I mean, it's enough to make a believer out of you. He shall prosper, this Antichrist, till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Another translation, the Berkeley, he shall prosper until the time of indignation is completed, for what is determined shall take place. Or as Moffat translates it, he shall prosper till the wrath divine has run its course,
for what has been decreed must be fulfilled. Now, that's the king of the north in Daniel 11 in the last days, and that's Antichrist. Saddam Hussein is not Antichrist, but he sits in rulership in a place that's one of the prime areas. If the current alignment of nations remains the same, Antichrist will probably come out of Iraq. But there's a good chance there'll be a realignment. All the Bible says it'll come out of the place where the Seleucid kingdom, the king of the north, held forth. And the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the land. And there will be partial fulfillments typifying the final fulfillment up to the end. He shall give no heed to the gods of his fathers or to the one beloved by women. He shall not give heed to any other god. Or as Berkeley translates it, of the god of his fathers he shall take no notice, or of the beloved of women. Neither shall he pay respect to any other god, but he shall exalt himself above them all. Instead of them he shall honor the god of forces. A worshiper of weapons and armaments. He actually believes. Like a kid that discovers a gun for the first time. Thinks he can whip the world with a 25 automatic. You are seeing the spirit of Antichrist at work in the land. And you're seeing God position, in spite of the media, in spite of those that are under control of the prince of the power of the air, you are seeing God position the nations, as he always has, to demonstrate his control over history, to give us a little preview of his ability to pull the strings and gather the forces that in the end will be aligned against Antichrist. And you're seeing even this positioning where Kuwait is the alleged cause of action. Baghdad's going to make sure that the world understands they're going to make Israel the target. I want to make a strong believer out of you. I mean, the walls went down in Eastern Europe, peace and safety everywhere, and in a stroke, as though the Bible wrote the history, everybody's focused on the Middle East. And the house of Ephraim and Manasseh leads the charge on one side, Judah on the other. Aren't you glad you know the Bible?
Yes, sir.
And Saddam's going to get his. He's just a preview. A fill-in, lead-on act for Antichrist that will come. So just kick the snot out of him and go home for a while and worship God. Be comforted in that Antichrist has been resisted a little longer. That's the Christian view. Not this mamby-pamby non-scriptural nonsense that's peddled everywhere with two or three big-mouth clergymen saying they represent Jesus and all the rest of the Christian world. No, they don't. Christians don't have to run from bullies. Christians don't have to kiss asteroids and call it spirituality. Christians can be good shillelagh kickers. Get on telephone. Campbell, California. I've been listening, and it's done me so much good. Our son is over there, and we so needed to hear someone in the media, on the airwaves, on our side for a change. Thank you so much. Listening on Channel 38, Olympia, Washington. I loved your impersonation of Tom Vu and his tapes. Aruba. Thanks, Doc, for waking up the USA about that jackass over there. I am 71 and suffer from cancer. Heard about helicopters this afternoon, and so glad to hear Doc talk about it. Wish the president would listen to Doc. Well, he seems to be doing the right thing. Well, I think we need to encourage him. I'm so happy I can pick up Doc here a little bit of home, listening on 1610 AM out of Anguilla. You know, the media, I hope you've noticed that the media has been given plenty of airtime to Muslim TV evangelists. You notice that? They are uncritically letting the Muslims, Saddam and his crowd, speak of a holy war and how God is on their side and Allah is going to give them the victory and all we infidels are going to be wiped from the face of the earth. And because theirs is a holy war, it justifies terrorism, the end justifies the means, and they will have victory no matter what happens. If they win the war, Allah be praised, and if they die, they have paradise. And I haven't heard one single media criticism of all those preachers. Not one. You notice that? I've not asked for any financial accountability. I haven't asked for any financial statements out of Saddam. Not one. You notice that? Well, what's wrong with telling our boys, since Saddam brought up the subject, God's on their side? All Scripture shows this king of the north is going to get his tail kicked. God's on their side. I don't care if they're an atheist. Just like Cyrus, God's on their side. What's wrong with telling our boys? They're going to kill a lot of infidels for Jesus. Uncircumcised Philistines that bray out against God. What's wrong with that? I mean, tit for tat. You know, I'm just so sick of the hypocritical media. We're not allowed to invoke God. We mention God, we come under attack. The other opposition can bray about God all day long. Kill babies, dump them out of incubators, Allah be praised. Rape and pillage, God's will. Terrorism, we know what terrorism is. Puts bombs on airplanes and kills innocent people, men, women, and children. We know what terrorism is. Hooded people go into crowded terminals and spray indiscriminately with machine guns. We know what terrorism is. Puts bombs in barracks of innocent competitors in an Olympic game. And the media lets somebody say that that's a holy war? And don't criticize them? But they rip poor Jim Baker to pieces for a 14-minute ding job. I want the hypocrisy exposed. Why isn't Dan Rather saying, do you really believe that Allah's on your side in terrorism? What kind of God do you serve? You really believe that God's going to give you the victory? Because what you've been doing, raping and pillaging a country, is God's will? You don't hear any of that, do you?
No, sir.
Well, and the media can hear me say that God, Jehovah, is going to bless our boys and help them kill Iraqis for the glory of God and the peace of mankind. And that's what they need to do. I know I shocked some of you just a minute ago. Good. I mean, it's okay for Christians to pray, "Oh God, bring our boys home safe." I want them to know that God's with them. God's going to give them the victory. I need to hear a speech like Patton gave. I don't want to hear about anybody dying for their country. You make the other poor sons of bucks die for their country. I'm fed up with a hypocritical media that doesn't criticize the nations of Islam in the name of their God, cursing the world and calling on Allah to bless them as they blow up innocent people around the world. Hey, the God that has revealed himself in Scripture gets on the side of people that kill people like that. They're vermin. Vermin and snakes. Doesn't matter whether the Saudis want us there or not. That's beside the point. The Saudis start acting like the Iraqis, clean up the Iraqis, and turn around and clean up the Saudis. Who cares what they think? We aren't there for the Saudis. When are we going to wake up? We're there because the Saudis are such cowards, they gave us an excuse. They ask a real people to come in and whip their enemy. Who cares what they think? They gave us the legitimate excuse to go in there and kick Saddam's ass. And we're kicking his ass because he's dirty. And he's evil. And God's on the side of people who do that. I think generally, but certainly when it's the territory of the King of the North and one who exhibits all the traits of Antichrist, though he is not the Antichrist, who is obviously under the control of the spirit of Antichrist, though not yet the particular demon that will possess Antichrist at the end. Then praise God that we can be the instrument of his vengeance. And it's okay to pray for our people to have courage and faith that God's on their side and is going to give them the victory. I mean, don't teach them to run out in front of the Iraqi foxholes and fall on their knees and pray for the enemy. Blow their frickin' heads off.
Yes,
and pray over their grave that their descent be speedy. And if it's okay for the Iraqis to invoke their God, it's okay for me. I don't want to hear any criticism of it. They started it. I'm just retaliating with a vengeance. I get on the phone.